another episode of the Stew Show. I hope everybody is having a clean, safe day away from this stupid coronavirus. It's taking a lot of people out of work. It's taking me out of work, man. God damn it. Can't even go do stand-up comedy right now. My gosh, darn it. Stay at home. Wash your hands. It will be super fun. If you make it. I guess only boring people get bored. I don't freaking know. I'm like over this shit. I'm so over it, dude. It's just driving me nuts. Anyway, we got a special contender today on the show. See if we can get my favorite great skateboarder on the show, Eric Turbo.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, what's up, bro Hams?
What's up, brother man? How you doing?
Staying at home and washing my hands and not getting the coronavirus. What are you doing?
I tried making some of that hand sanitizer.
You tried to make it?
Yeah.
There's the make it yourself blend.
That's what I tried, and then I put it all in there. I got the green alcohol, and then I started following the directions.
Yeah.
And then after a little while, it kind of just turned out to be like a, like a rum and coke. It came out a little different.
Yo, it's like a rum and a coke.
Get it?
All I know is alcohol sales are 50% up right now.
Everybody. Nah, I tried to make the hand sanitizer and it wasn't coming out well.
Everybody and their grandmother is buying alcohol so they can sit at home and work at the same time. And they're like this. Well, as long as no one else knows that I'm getting super fucked up and I'm getting my job done, then everything seems to be cool.
Is that what your wife does?
You better fucking believe everybody and their grandmother's doing it, bro.
Right.
Shit.
I went out in the world today, and I wore gloves and a mask. There's not a lot of people out there. They're not recommending people. I live between Sacramento and Tahoe, and so they don't want people from Sacramento to go all the way to Tahoe. So they want people staying home.
Are you guys getting 3 feet of snow today?
No, we're not. We're getting rain here where I live, and Tahoe will get an inch or two of snow today.
Yeah, I thought they were going to get dumped on.
They might get a piece, but it'll probably melt quick.
Fuck it.
It's a great season with a lot of snow. It sucks they closed all the ski resorts. That's not a good day.
I heard you wrote a poem.
A poem? I got a song I wrote.
Let me hear it.
I wrote the song, and my boys played the tunes, and they put it out. You want to hear my song?
I got a trumpet. You better start singing, bro. I know who I got on my mind.
It was late one night in the month of June. Sonny and I were at the Lonesome Coyote School. Just thought we'd stop in and have ourselves a brew.
Have a brew.
The parking lot was just gravel and drive. The place looked like a real dive. But we were thirsty, and there was nothing else to do. Before we ever got inside, we heard some noise and a woman cried. So the gentleman that we are, we decided to investigate. Well, we looked around, and to our surprise, we found a bit some bitch about twice our size. Wanted to leave, but I guess it was just too late. Well, he headed my way, and I wanted to run. He said, with a belt, is there a problem, son? I just stood my ground, and I almost peed my pants. Well, I could tell this was a domestic dispute. In my mind, it just didn't compute. Was this any way to have a romance? I could see she wasn't much of a prize, but she didn't deserve two black eyes. She probably only weighed 100 pounds soaking wet. So I said, excuse me, sir, but we'd appreciate if you'd unhand her.
We're about halfway through the story.
Maybe pick on someone a little bit more your own size. Well, he looked around for a second or two, then he got in my face and said, I suppose that's you. Man, I was hoping we could just say our goodbyes. I pride myself on thinking fast, and I'd better start, or he'd kick my ass. That's when Sonny snuck up behind him on all fours. With my head down, I ran his gut. He went backwards over Sonny on his butt. His old lady clocked him across the head with the driver's side door. Well, in her purse, she had all kinds of stuff. She pulled out a pair of leopard skin cuffs, and she quickly locked him to the bumper of his truck. She said, thank you, boys, now I'll take it from here. Run along and have your beer. Me and her hubby need to discuss his change of luck. Well, we could see our work here was done. It was getting late. We gotta run. Maybe we'll live to see our children grow. We got back in the Mustang 65 before we fired her up. Put her in the drive. We can hear that big sumbitch howling long. Was a big sumbitch.
Big sumbitch.
Come on. That's like beyond country. That's like hick shit.
It's cool, though. I mean, I know the guy that sang it.
No, it's funny, dude. I'm laughing to myself right now. I'm like, what the fuck?
So we didn't have to hear the whole thing. And I don't hear Slade sing no more, but you get it. It's, they had to run.
Right?
That's pretty cool. They did justice that night. They got out of sight, and they didn't have to do no more.
I would think, get out of my sight, or we're going to fight. But, I don't know. I like that rhyme.
Like, I'm not a big fan of, actually, I'm not a big fan of country at all, but it's kind of funny. Anything that makes it funny, you know?
I know people who love it, and I know people who hate it. And I'm like, man, you can't hate on any music. Come on, man.
I try not to hate on anything that, yeah, like, what's it done to you? Like, hate is a bad word. I try to stay away from that word in general. You may not like it, but hate, if it's not done something to you, then you shouldn't hate it.
Dude, it's funny. I actually like the peregrine.
Oh, you like the permagrin grass?
Yeah, permagrin, not peri.
That's his name, permagrin. So it's like, it's sweet because it's like, he used to work for...
I permanently smile all the time.
What's the name of the two badass glass companies? Roar Glass? And then what's the other one? Illadelph. He used to work for Illadelph for years. Illadelph Glass.
Yeah.
So listeners that aren't listening, our friend Todd Permagrin used to work for Illadelph Glass. So when they would build a glass piece for somebody for cannabis smoking out of glass, they would have like three or four guys working on that one piece.
Well, hold on. Let's talk about
like that by himself.
How old were you when you started working for what's his face?
Who's this? What's his face?
He had those wooden coins. He came to 95 Central on the Haight Street and gave me these wooden coins. We trust in.
Oh, Lofty! I started.
We trust in Lofty. So hold on.
In Lofty We Trust. So yeah, this
In
is
Lofty We Trust. That was the coin he gave me, and he was a cool cat.
It was different
cat.
Because that, I can tell you a little bit about it.
Yeah.
Brian Jordan didn't really have anything to do with it originally. It was a company started by Ray Dillon, which he's out of Moraga or the East Bay. And his dad's name is...
I don't care about his dad's name.
Right, but he owned his dad, Ray Dillon. His name, I can think of it off the top of my head, but his dad owned the Ferrari in Walnut Creek.
Okay, neat. So then, what did you guys start?
So you named it. His name was Neems Dillon. So you got it. Like Neems Dillon Ferrari was, that's who started J Lofty, was Ray Dillon, which was Neems. You got it. You named the name off the top.
No,
of
I'm saying, what did you guys make? What did you do?
We did everything. We didn't make. We didn't.
No, you don't do everything in the world, dude. There's a million things in the world. What'd you do?
We built action sports gear for athletes, like more like action sportswear, and then snowboard gear later. And that's what I was a part of. I was never a part of J Lofty when it was young. I got sponsored by them because I liked to ride skateboards. It was different.
So you mainly later, just made clothing.
Later, after I wasn't skateboarding as much and I got into snowboarding, I started to design their snowboard gear. That's how I got involved with J Lofty.
Did you get paid?
I got paid. I traveled the world, got paid a lot. Brian Jordan is the founder of, or the he's the owner of J Lofty at the time, with Ray Dillon. But it's different because these guys are well connected with artists like Ice-T and other people like Triple X Motocross. And so it's a little different than others because they're very well connected, like with people like Ken Block, Thrasher Magazine, and it's just so when you work and you make these clothes, they're built for a reason. They're built to work for the athletes.
Sounds pretty fun though. So like,
I hated working in a cubicle. I like being in the field, so I was one of the first ones out.
Okay. Did you get to meet any like interesting women?
Of course, yes, absolutely, sir.
Nice little bonus package, but like,
it's different when you're traveling amongst a pack of gentlemen, but there's 18 gentlemen that aren't gentlemen, and then you're in every bar in every state, and there's fights in every bar. And then when there's not fights in the bar, there's fights amongst them. The SoCal crowd is a little bit more burly than, you know, like the Triple X guys.
Did you get into fights?
I didn't so much. The Triple X guys, like the Friedman Brother Triple X guys, like the motocross guys.
Yeah.
Didn't click well with the Hicks in Wyoming and Utah. So they had to they were used to fighting, so they didn't have a problem with it, but they fought their way through. Let's put it that way.
Right.
Versus me from Northern California, I'm a little more laid back, and we don't fight that much unless you have to, kind of, you know? It's like versus, like, different, I guess. SoCal, maybe people fight more.
Did you go to, Jackson Hole?
We went to Jackson Hole. There's 18 of us. It was called Fresh Tracks, and there was 18 of us. John Friedman Films, and there was affiliated with Crusty Demons of Dirt. There was Seth Enslow, Rusty,
big name dropper. I was talking more about the mountain itself.
Like you're trying to make a snowboard movie, but there's too many of us and not enough filmers. It just was a fucking fun festival. It's
yeah.
Crazy.
So, what do you think? Because I've seen you on a big ramp on a skateboard. What's the biggest air you've done on a snowboard?
Probably this like staircase at Donner at Alder Creek. Dropped out. I don't want to say like 40, 50 feet drop, but you don't land there. like you got a loading dock on top of it, and then it's hard to explain, but like it's how it steeps. You're not really going to get beat that hard unless you fall. Mm-hmm. We're talking like a 50-foot drop probably onto a steep landing, but you're hucking too at the same time.
Right.
Off a loading dock, so you got to have be on your game so when you're coming off, like doing a 3-6 or whatever. It's tough. Like, I ain't a snowboarder. Like, I just like to snowboard. Now it's a different ballgame. Like, people are buggering off of those loading docks into cork shit. Like, it's totally different.
Like, what do you think the difference is between the 80s and right now in skateboarding?
Depends on what kind of skateboarding you're talking about. Like, if you're going to the Rodney Mullen, like, the technical aspect of it, it's different. They've got alien skateboards now that twist and have Rodney Mullen riding them, and people that can do kickflips and then flip the top of the board simultaneously. It's absolutely insane what can be done on a skateboard, is what you call a skateboard. But vertical skateboarding, when you talk about the gods, in my opinion, like Danny Way and people like Bob Burnquist, have built things in their yard that are unbelievable and unfathomable. Like, if you saw what they built 20 years ago, you're like, who's going to hit this?
You're not going to bring up Tony Hawk?
Tony Hawk is one of those guys. Yes, definitely. Tony Hawk, but we're talking a little bit beyond that, and Tony Hawk's a part of that, like the X Games and the big vert wall, but Bob built that thing in his yard, that the quarter pipe. Bob Burnquist built that thing in his yard, and the X Games accepted it. Tony Hawk has brought all those guys up to where they are.
Right.
And beyond anything they'll ever be able to do.
What about Mike Archimedes?
A skateboard ruler. I've heard of 3 years ago. People have seen sightings of him in San Francisco. I hope he exists still.
Arco?
With my heart.
Uh-huh. What about Steve Caballero?
He's good friends with my friend Greg Neal, who owns Dynagro in Richmond, Oakland. And they have a 12-foot vertical skateboard ramp in there, and they have sessions every Wednesday. And Steve Caballero sessions there once in a while. He doesn't come every session, but every once in a while there's a sighting of him.
Tommy Guerrero?
I don't talk to him. I'm not saying we're not friends, but I don't see him around or know much about him. But he's the owner of Deluxe Skateboard Distribution right now, and a really good guy. Like, when he talks, you want to listen.
What was the company he started back in the 90s? Because I know, I'm just seeing it.
He didn't start any, I don't know what he started, but he became a team rider of Palin Peralta when he was very young.
Of course.
And that paved his way to becoming to where he is now.
All right. Yeah, he's a cool cat, man. He's San Francisco local.
He's a street skater. He was the first one to really bring it.
So, like,
I know Tommy personally. The last time I dealt with him, I used to be a rider for Spitfire and Thunder, but I wasn't anymore, and I was going down to ride the warehouse skateboarding.
Yeah.
So I called Tommy, and I'm like, hey, Tom, can I come over and grab some stickers and a pack? Like I used to. And he's like, yeah, one more time, you can come over. And then when I came in, it was just like, you're a team rider again. He gave me a box and let me grab some real big sticker packs, and like the dealer authorized. And
how old were you then?
Not that long ago. We're talking like 8-9 years ago. It was still when the Vans Park was at the big mall in Milpitas.
Right.
Which is not there anymore. But I'm pretty sure Tommy Guerrero owns Deluxe, and he's doing very well, and I'm good for him.
What about, like, just asking, you know...
I'm answering.
No, I'm saying, you know Hero?
Hero Skateboards is different.
No, I'm saying, you know of them?
Talk to me. I mean, explain it to me.
I'm saying, you know who the company is, right?
Sort of. I don't know what Hero is, to be honest with you. I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's just an awesome another company that makes boards for people to go skating.
Well, who's the guy that puts it out?
I don't know the names. But like,
I just bought a board online. It's Creature. It didn't sell a wide for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it fits my foot right. And then I love my friend Shruti because he's sponsored me for years for Spitfire. And everybody knows Shruti, but Aces Trucks. This is my friend Shruti's truck company.
Yeah.
So I'm throwing some Aces Trucks on the Creature, which I already got it going.
You think they're better than independent?
It's different. He used to be the team manager for Thunder, and then Thunder was owned by Fausto, which is Fausto's no longer here. Shruti started his own thing, and it's called Aces Trucks now. It's not Aces Trucks now, it's Aces Trucks. But yes, that's what I'm going to put on my board, or have on my board right now.
That's cool. Well, enough about skateboarding.
Coronavirus, what's going on? Are you sick?
No, are you?
No.
Are you afraid of getting sick?
That's a good question. It's a trip when you work. I used to work at a cafe, or I do work there, but I got laid off.
Uh-huh.
Because everyone has. And I'm definitely afraid of getting sick. For me, even if I get sick, I know I'm going to make it. I'm not in the risk group. It's a real devastation for a whole, not our community, the world right now. We're going to have a hard time recovering from this.
It's an awkward 9/11 time.
Happened where the bombs, you know, the planes hit the building, blah, blah, blah. We all know the story. Devastating. And then that's when the Patriot Act got involved, and so that took a lot of rights got stripped from us, as you know.
Right.
And like, this is a different ball game now. Like, the world is never going to be, we're never going to recover. And it's hard to explain. I'm not trying to make a parallel between 9/11 and now. You're never going to parallel this. We're in a whole different thing. That, like, this is what was talked about 20 or 30 years ago, and it's happening now to us. It's a discovery in a way, but it's, you want to hear my real opinion?
Yeah. Well, how do you make lemonade out of lemons?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you're going to make lemonade out of this one. Ask me one more question, and then I'll go back to the first one, and then I'm going to twist it on you.
How do you plan on surviving the next year?
Okay, that's a great question. I'm going to flip it forward, and then I'm going to flip it back to exactly what you asked. How do you plan on surviving forward? Do you mind if I flip it back and give you some background on what's happening right now?
Hit me up.
Okay, listen. Okay. 10 years ago, a decade ago, people that are retiring from the Navy, 2 decades ago, when people retired from the Navy, most of the people that retired from the Navy, they retired to Florida. You hear me?
I'm listening. A lot of old people retired to Florida, just to let you know.
From the Navy, if you're retiring from the Navy, they stopped retiring at sea level. They started retiring to people that are retiring, they're going more towards the Ozarks.
Keep going.
Do you know where the Ozarks are?
Keep going.
It's 1,500 foot elevation. So the sea level is higher. So people that are retiring from the Navy 10 years ago, unless they're retiring at higher elevation. So that tells me that sea level is going to rise. And then right now, with this thing that's happening, in my opinion, this is a diversion to environmental issues that they're not willing to approach. The fact that the polar cap is melting rapidly, okay? And when you melt the polar cap into alkaline, the ocean has unique capability because it has salt in it. And it has the moon as well, which the moon is the magnet and the salt is the motor. So when you pull the moon away or draw it away or turn it around, that's the magnet. And when you have salt in it, that's the current for the ocean. It's called, you call it the jet stream. The continental stream is what's under, it's the ocean. That's under what you don't see. That's in the water.
Okay.
Okay? So when you put more water into the salt, then you have less alkaline. So you have less, which leads to jet stream. Less jet stream. So when you fly, do your research. 10 years ago, when you used to fly from New York to San Francisco and back, you used to take a lot less time one way. The jet stream has slowed down. You know why it's slowed down? Because there's less salt in the ocean. When you have less salt in the ocean, the alkalinity level goes down. More fresh water into the ocean, and then the Gulf Stream, that's what I was looking for, the word, the Gulf Stream slows down. When the Gulf Stream slows down, it becomes stagnant. That's why this world works the way it does. So we're between, right now, we're between, and then, this is what's wrong. Not the scientists, no one's ever said. When everything melts, you're not going into the whole world as water. Everything is. There's going to go 2 or 3 feet up. In Florida, and half the United States will be underwater, which is a fact in a lot of South America.
Okay.
But that's when you're going into, which we don't see in our lifetime. This is the hundreds of years down the road. We were on wagon wheels 200 years ago, coming, you know, Columbus 1492, so the ocean blew. And then we were fighting with Indians less than 200 years ago, or a little more. I think God bless any natives. They didn't discover America. They were here. They didn't discover anything. They lived here. They're indigenous.
Right.
Yes, sir. True blood. Very few, but they're here. The polar caps are melting rapidly. As we speak, the ocean level is going to go up real quick. It's already happened. It's raised like 3 feet where these polar caps have melted. So when across the globe happens, again, it's going to take time. But when this time happens, it's going to happen quick. It's going to happen in the next 2, 3, or 4 years. The ocean level is going to come up to where you're going to see half of Florida underwater within the next, I'm not going to make a prediction, but within the next 4 or 5 years, you're going to have some, there's going to be some differences made. And then when these differences are made, there's going to be people with a lot of money that got to move. And it doesn't matter how much money you got or where you're at. There's going to be poverty that has to move, and there's going to be money that's got to move. So what they're creating right now, it's different. You got 9/11, which was the Patriot Act. This is creating something court where they can create something court more towards called, it's called martial law. So it's much easier when you bring this virus in. Like, everyone gets sick. If it's a free country, let us all go get sick.
Uh-huh.
This is different. It's spreading fast and it's smart. Okay? Let's stay home. And the scientists are smart. They can create something that could be 10 times worse than this. We're doing the right thing right now. Okay? I'm not denying anything from the scientists. Staying home is what you want to do. This is the smartest idea.
They've already kind got of waxed, like the whole worse. For me, the whole stay at home thing, I'm like this. I want to go outside and get some air and some sun and just stay away from me, man.
That's There's it. Nothing wrong with that.
I still want to go out and play.
Right, but if you got everyone doing that, that's a problem. So we have a major population. You're talking about, do you know how many million? There's 78 million people in the United States, okay?
It's a It's a lot.
Am I wrong or right? Is that the right number?
I don't have it written down, but, like, I know there's, like...
Or is it 178 million? We got 4 billion people on the planet. How many of them are in the United States?
A lot. 30 million is in Los Angeles.
This fire, let me explain to you where it's going. Right now, the southern hemisphere is about to get their winter. You understand? We're going to come out of this thing because it's coming from the north and it's coming down. And it's going to go down to the southern hemisphere, like in Mexico City and Guadalajara. I don't know what the fuck they're doing in Mexico City, but that's one of the third biggest cities in the world.
Yeah, and they're making burritos right now and
playing soccer. When this thing hits them, it could be an epidemic worse than anything you've ever seen. When an epidemic like this hits a third world country where you have that many people that are that close to each other, it could destroy a lot of population in that way.
But I think it works better in colder atmospheres than it does in hotter atmospheres.
It's a cold winter virus. The swine flu.
Down in Mexico City, there's a shitload of people.
Like cancer and diabetes and heart attacks and the swine flu and many other diseases kill more people than this thing has or will. They're creating an epidemic, is what they're doing. I'm not saying it's a conspiracy theory, and I'm not telling you to not ignore it or to ignore it. I'm heeding to the scientists, absolutely.
All right.
But, do you understand?
I do. And, I guess we all should just, for now, turn on some YouTube, watch a movie, kick back at home, eat
food. I'm not a preacher.
Get drunk, get stoned, all that in a bag of chips. But, I will talk to you soon, and thank you for coming into the podcast.
Absolutely, sir. Thanks for putting on your podcast. You rock the Stu every time.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, brother.
All right. He had his own little view on things. It's all right. Kind of, what else are we going to do right now except for stay clean? You know what I mean? Gotta keep washing your hands. And I just say stay away from people, man. Anyway. Love you guys. Have a great night.